This is episode 84. It's called Old Rats. It's a creepy creep.
Good morning, everybody, or whatever time it is where you are. This is Lisa. I am Avery's mom. Avery is our 17-year-old dynamo of a child, or she's not. Is she a child? She's on the precipice of adulthood, which I can't even go there with that. She is the Avery in A Very Bright Life podcast, the podcast that you're listening to at this very moment. This podcast is for, who is this podcast for? I'm trying to figure that out. Is it for families and caregivers of disabled children? Or is it for people to learn about the lives of families of disabled kids? I don't know. I kind of feel like it's both, but that's not your issue. That's mine. Yeah. So I'm just sitting here recording. It's very quiet in our home right now, as opposed to yesterday, which was sheer chaos. There's always something going on. I had a full day planned of things that I needed to get done. And I was working away, mostly focused. And our cat, you may have seen his face in our logo. Kevin is the logo of our podcast. And that's basically that's all he's useful for at this point. He's a good-for-nothing tabby cat, I tell ya. He escaped outside. And where we live, there's a bylaw. Cats are not permitted to be outside. Try telling that to a fat orange tabby cat who just wants to go outside and sniff things and run around and climb fences. He escaped through the screen door, as he does, and he returned shortly after with a big, fat, juicy mouse, very much alive. And I think he thought he was being thoughtful by bringing me a gift. Yeah, I prefer gift cards, not your stinking gross rodents. I have a real phobia for mice, rats, all the things. Anyway, he dropped it underneath the table. It ran for the hall closet. So I'm in the closet trying to get him with a broom. He's fighting back against the cat, which is really kind of disturbing if you ask me. So I opened the front door hoping that I could scooch the mouse. You can't scooch mice. They don't scooch. They do whatever they want. But I wanted to scooch him out through the front door. Well, the only thing that left through the front door was the cat, who was like, "You like my gift? Well, I know where there's more." So off he went and searched for more goodies. I was left to deal with the mouse. But I did get distracted, shocker of all shockers, and I noticed a bunch of dust bunnies in the back of the closet. So I thought, while I have a broom, I'll just take care of those. And I was focused on those while the mouse decided that was their opportunity to book it towards the dining room and then made a beeline for the living room couch. That's where it took up residence. And I was like, I cannot proceed with my day knowing there's a mouse under my couch. So I called my friend Tiff in a panic because she's got experience with rodents, and she advised me quite expertly how to build a rodent funnel / chute. So I constructed that out of like various pieces of furniture, tables, a bunch of things. She suggested that I use pillows. I was like, hard pass, because if a mouse touches a pillow, I'll have to burn it. So that's not very eco-friendly. So anyway, I built this chute. And I had to call a neighbor to come over to help lift the couch because it's an awkward L-shaped couch situation. So he kindly came over. We did flush the mouse under the couch. It entered the chute, but there was a breach. There was a breach in my funnel. So it got out through the side and it ended up in the kitchen. Long story short, my neighbor caught the mouse under a piece of Tupperware and held it there. And as this is going on, the cat has returned. He's at the front door and I can hear a muffled meow to be let in. It was muffled because his mouth was full of bird. This is why cats aren't allowed out, because they wreak havoc on wildlife. Anyway, the good news is the bird was unharmed and flew away. The mouse, my neighbor yeeted it out through the door and it hid underneath the deck stairs. And I kept checking on the poor thing. And unfortunately, he succumbed to his injuries, which I watched it die. And I can tell you honestly that that has shook me. I don't like mice, but watching a creature die in a violent way, it's haunting. Anyway, this has nothing to do with this episode. This episode is about a conversation, a difficult conversation that I had to have with Avery over the past couple of days. And it's related to keeping our kids safe from creepy strangers. So there is a content warning on this episode. If you have little ears around you, put on your headphones so that you can enjoy as much as you can enjoy a topic about something so insidious. I did an episode back at the very beginning of this podcast, episode 9, and it was called, Keeping Our Kids Safe, Abuse in the Disability Community. And to this day, it is probably our number 2 most listened to episode, because it's something that is a topic that's on all of our minds, whether you're the parent of a typical child or an atypical child. It's something that parents fear. Are some of our fears completely redonkulous? Yes. Yes, they are. But unfortunately, many of our fears, especially right now in this age of trafficking and all this absolute garbage, a lot of our fears are justified. And I feel like the best we can do as parents is to arm ourselves with as much information about what is actually going on. Because like I said, a lot of what we hear in the media is peppered with some falsities. Neither one of those are words, but you know what I mean. So we have to, first of all, figure out what's true and what's not. And then we need to have conversations with our children. But what I'm struggling with is trying to figure out how much to share and how to share it in a way that is empowering and protective without being the stuff of nightmares. You know what I'm saying? Okay, so put on your headphones and let's get into it.
Hey everyone, it's a very bright life.
It sure is. Your life is so bright.
I gotta wear shades.
We are so happy that you're here with us.
Let's do this thing.
So like I said, we did do an episode about this topic back in the day, episode 9. And it's all about how, but predominantly females, but males as well, particularly intellectually disabled females, are at higher risk of being sexually assaulted and physically abused throughout their lifetime. And I did say this episode was about protecting our kids from creepy creeps and creepy strangers. And yes, strangers can be a danger, you know, stranger danger, but the studies show, generally speaking, and this is in the typical and atypical communities, abuse is more often than not from someone who's not a stranger, somebody that your child knows. So I'm acknowledging that. And so yeah, go ahead and have a listen to that episode if you haven't already. I will link that in the show notes. But today I wanted to just quickly talk about creepy strangers, because in this case, these last few experiences have been with strangers. And I don't know, I think TikTok is freaking me the crap out, because I'm seeing all of these. I don't know, I've landed on the trafficking side of TikTok. I don't understand what's happening, but I'm getting all this information about all these trafficking scenarios and schemes that are happening. And I'm sure you've seen them too. And I think there's maybe some truth to some of these things, but I think some of them are sensationalized. Like the one where they're saying that you need to be careful when your child goes into the bathroom because there could be traffickers hiding in there. And what they do is they grab your child, they inject them with some kind of sedative, and then they shave their head, and then they plunk them into a wheelchair and wheel them out so that any onlookers will think it's just a medically fragile person when in fact they're abducting your child. So I believe that one's an urban legend, but don't quote me on it. And the other one is, and I feel like there is truth in this one as well. You know, those big public bathrooms, like at parks or whatever, and it's just one door and it goes into one big open single stall. I will often let Avery leave the playground area and run over to the bathroom so that she can be independent. I may have spoken about this before, but anyway, I'm going to say it again. And I feel confident that she can go in there by herself because there's only one way into the room and one way out. So nothing's going to happen. So this mother posted on Facebook that she sent her child to one of these bathrooms, same thing independently, but last second decided to go in with her because she also had to use the bathroom. And when she entered, there was a man waiting in the bathroom. And if she hadn't gone into that bathroom with her child, her daughter would have been in there alone with a stranger. And when she confronted the adult, he fled. So that's sus. Anyway, these are the things that run through my mind when I'm trying to sleep at night. So yeah. So creepy strangers. Creepers be creeping. So two things happened that made me really spiral. And so I'm going to share that with you because I know I'm not alone. And if you feel the same and you have any advice on how to like quiet these thoughts, I'd really appreciate it. So two things. One, Avery and I had to take the train from our town into the city of Toronto for a sick kids appointment. It's about a, I don't know, 20 minute walk from the train station to the hospital. And it was enjoyable. We got off the train, we got some snacks, and then we walked up the busy street up to the hospital. She had her appointment, which I will be talking about in a future episode. She had an MRI, and we're doing an episode called, I think I called it 10 Tips for Hospital Procedures or something like that. Something fun. I'll make the title more fun. So that's coming up. But anyway, that doesn't matter right now. So she had her appointment, and because MRIs were running like throughout the day and night, her appointment was at 7 p.m., which means that we were walking back from the hospital, back to the train station at about, it was like 9:45. So it was dark. We're walking down the street past a multitude of unhomed people in their sleeping bags on the sidewalk. And I had to try to explain to Avery how that was okay, because it's clearly not. She couldn't understand why they were sleeping on the sidewalk. And she couldn't understand why we couldn't stop to help them. And she wanted to know where their mom and dad was. So that's heartbreaking. So we're continuing down the road. We're in a particularly dark patch. This has nothing to do with it, but just tying back to the beginning of the episode, a big ass Toronto rat stepped out in front of us, and it was like, hey, we couldn't pass because this rat was blocking our pathway. And I had a bit of a meltdown. Anyway, we were walking out of that dark patch, thank God. And Avery was a few steps ahead of me because I had stopped to look at my phone. Stupid mistake. So because she was ahead of me, it appeared probably to a stranger that she was a young girl on her own. Well, this man was walking up towards her, looked her up and down, licked his lips, and then blew her a kiss, and was approaching her when I hustled and got up next to her so he could see that she was not alone. She was with me. It just gave me such a chill knowing that if I hadn't been there, this stranger would have, I don't know, nothing good. And this basic same scenario happened not once, but twice on our 20-minute walk from the hospital to the train station. The second guy didn't blow kisses at her, but he came up to her with look at the intent of talking to her. And this man was probably in his 40s. So gross. We had to have a conversation about men and how some men, definitely not all men, can be dangerous. And that you always have to be aware of your surroundings. And even if the person looks like just a regular guy, a friendly guy, a young guy, an old guy, a dad, whoever, you need to protect your personal space. And telling your child that she needs to be afraid of 50% of her population is not an easy conversation to have. And of course, I didn't say she needed to be afraid, but I used the words like aware and that it's always a good choice to be kind and friendly. You don't have to be kind or friendly to people you don't know. You don't have to say hello back. You don't have to tell them anything until you have permission from a parent that this person is a safe person. Oh God, it just makes me sick even talking about that. So we had this brief conversation and I didn't go into too much detail. So flash forward to a few days after that, Avery and I are going for a bike ride and there's a trail near our house and it's not super secluded. Like it kind of goes in through the neighborhood and out the other side. And I don't generally go in there by myself very often. I wouldn't go in there at night by myself, but in the daytime on our bikes, that was cool. So we're approaching the trail. We're about to ride into the trail and I see a man walking out of the trail, but he sees us approaching on our bikes. He does an about face and goes back into the trail. And I slammed my brakes literally and figuratively. And Avery was like, what's going on? And I said, we're going to take a pause. I took that opportunity to have a sort of a part two of that conversation. And I said, there's a man in that trail. We have two choices. We can choose to go ahead knowing that the man is in there, just ride our bikes in and hope for the best. Or we can choose to be cautious and to be safe and to not go in the trail just in case. And so we just took a few laps around the park and we went to the other end of the trail and saw him coming out of the trail. I thought, okay, great. So we headed into the trail. And I looked over my shoulder and I saw that he had turned around and was coming back into the trail behind us. So I said, Avery, let's go. We did a 180 and we got out of there, went past him. And she couldn't understand why. And I said, because chances are good that this is just a man going for a walk in his neighborhood. Though I rarely trust men who are walking without dogs. It just seems sus to me. But he's probably just getting exercise, you know? Fair enough. And it makes me really sad that this is probably just some dad out there getting exercise and doing a loop through the trail. Anyway, I said, let's wait. So he went a bit into the trail and then came back out and then went back out into the neighborhood. Sorry, this is all over the place. The point being, we didn't go into the trail because I was fearful of this man. And Avery and I had to have a conversation again about how most men are like dad. They are kind and gentle and safe, but we don't know who we don't know, you know? So yeah, once he was gone, once I knew for sure he was gone, we got back on our bikes and we rode through the trail and it was delightful. But I will continue to have conversations like this because it's not a one-off, it's not a two-off, it's not a three-off. This is something that needs to be reiterated and reconfigured and talked about often because my child, I don't know about your child, but my child is super friendly and very trusting and naive and kind and loves people, men people and women people. And that makes her a beautiful soul, but it also puts her at risk. And I think a lot of our daughters are similar in that way. In fact, I was speaking to a friend of mine the other day. She had concerns about how to street-proof her daughter for these very same reasons. And we both kind of came up empty. And so I feel like I'm not really giving you any takeaways in this episode, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep having these conversations with examples, run some scenarios. What would you do in this situation? Show me how this would play out because she needs to tie ideas to real world examples. And so we'll do that. And I think the main point I want to kind of work on with Avery is to give her permission to be rude because as girls, we have always been conditioned to be amiable and agreeable. And although that's nice in some ways, being nice isn't going to help in a situation where you're at risk. So that's what we're going to work on. And then maybe also sign her up for some kind of self-defense class. Not because I think that would really protect her in a situation like this. I think a lot of creepy abusers use more psychological tricks rather than brute force to coerce their victims. I feel like signing her up for some kind of karate or taekwondo, which she really, really, really wants to do, would probably just help to increase her confidence and her overall fitness. So that's not a bad thing. Anyway, that's all I want to talk about. So this episode, I talked about Stranger Danger, Pervy Men, Rats, and Mice. So, yeah, you're welcome. Next week, we're going to do a much happier topic, I promise, with less nightmarish images. Okay, if you have any suggestions for how to help better prepare our daughters to go out into a pretty wild world, I'm all ears. Okay, be safe out there. Love y'alls. Oh, I heard your stomach growl. I'm sorry, that's not the joke. Okay, do you have a joke for us?
What the musical instrument is found in the bathroom?
What musical instrument is found in the bathroom?
A tuba toothpaste.
A tuba toothpaste?
Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Your support means so much to us, so thank you for sharing the podcast and for cheering us on. It is amazing to see this bright, beautiful community growing in this way. If you have a question, an episode suggestion, or you just want to say hello, we would love to hear from you. So reach out on Instagram or send us an email. Or you can show off your techie prowess by leaving us an audio message by clicking the message button on the Spotify for Podcasters homepage. That link is in the show notes and on the podcast page on the A Very Bright Life website. If you liked what you heard today, please consider leaving us a review. More positive comments and 5-star reviews nudge the algorithm to deliver this content to more ears. Thanks for listening, and we'll chat with you again soon.